Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, what the heck? Let's start with a caller. We got a great caller on the phone lines already racked and stacked for you here this morning on Montana Talks. We've pretty much got the phone lines open for the next 2 hours on the show. We've got a couple of guests that are joining us around 8:25 a.m., but other than that, the phone lines are open for you, and we've got a ton of stuff to talk about here this morning. But yeah, let's start with a caller, 406-294-0970. Tim in Billings on the phone lines. You got state hockey coming up this weekend, huh?
Good morning, Aaron. Yeah, exactly. We've got the U14, so girls that are 14 years and under, state hockey tournament being hosted here in Billings this weekend. Games start on Friday. The Billings girls have secured the number one seed in the state. They had a great season. A lot of really competitive hockey this year. And I would recommend if you have young girls and you want to get them active and find an activity that they would enjoy, bring them to the tournament, because there's going to be some times where they're going to have come on the ice, try skating, try hitting the puck around a little bit on the ice. Some of the girls from the teams are going to be on the ice with the girls. It's going to be like some skills competitions between the girls who are playing in the tournament. Each team has designated players from each of their teams to compete in each of the skills competitions. And you're going to see some girls out there playing really hard and giving it their best on the ice. We've got girls from Billings, Bozeman, Helena, Glasgow, Missoula, and the Flathead area. So, you know, it's a tournament will start on Friday and go till Sunday, and people can go to CentennialIceArena.com for information on that. They could also go to MontanaHockey.com, which is MAHA. It's the association that runs the entire amateur hockey league for the state of Montana, and they will also have a schedule of games and things of that nature on there, and just probably good information if you're interested in youth hockey or girls hockey at both of those sites. So,
MAHA. I like that. MAHA. MAHA, Make America Healthy Again by Getting Kids Playing Hockey with the Montana Hockey Association. And there's some incredible female hockey players out there, too. And thankfully, they won't get body checked by some dude pretending to be a woman either. So it's some great sports. You guys were just up in Glasgow, too, weren't you, up on the High Line?
Just up in Glasgow, the final two games of the season, and it was those games were consequential as to where teams were going to end up in the seeding. So, I mean, these girls, they don't have to worry about a male being on the ice with them, playing hard and physical against them. We got girls that, you know, they play just as hard as the boys, and it's a fair level playing field for those girls to be out there against other girls. And
Awesome. Well, thanks for telling our listeners about that, especially, you know, we got listeners in the Flathead, probably got kids that'll be playing in that, and then folks in the Billings area that'll probably want to go watch some of it. I appreciate it. You know, Tim, you can bring a frozen Eugene's pizza from Glasgow back to Billings. I mean, just a thought next time you play hockey up there. I mean,
saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. During your retirement years, you'll be dealing with two big expenses, which you already now pay. Whether you're currently retired or planning for retirement, these are two expenses you need to focus on, like housing, which might be one of your biggest expenses as home repairs get increasingly more difficult to handle yourself as you age. There are a variety of ways to reduce your monthly housing bills, including paying off your mortgage. Another option is to downsize to a home that costs significantly less or move to a new place with a lower cost of living. And then there's healthcare spending. It might be relatively low when you retire, but then will jump as you age. According to a recent study, an average retired couple around 65 may need approximately $315,000 saved to cover healthcare expenses in retirement. And that doesn't even include medications or long-term care. The main takeaway is that you need to factor housing and healthcare costs into your overall retirement plan. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
single-digit temperatures, snow in several parts of Montana. I just hope it all clears up before the Gate Show in Glendive coming up on Valentine's Day, Friday and Saturday. Hey, either way, we will be there with Montana Talks live from the Gate Show in Glendive. Always great to catch up with our friends in eastern Montana. In the meantime, we're taking your phone calls and much more. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across the state. Statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so I got a great email from Bob in Anaconda. Where did I put it? Here it is. All right. A little background quickly for those of you who haven't heard the news. So I was chatting with Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio earlier this morning, and the deadline is practically here. You know, President Trump is offering a buyout to federal employees, saying, hey, look, if you want to end your job with the federal government, because how do we save money, right? We've got billions and billions of dollars that are spent on federal employees every year. We've got way too much of a federal bureaucracy. And so, but it's hard to fire federal employees. Now, you would think in a republic, or even for the people that falsely call it a democracy, you would think that a president should be able to fire some of these employees, especially the ones that, you know, aren't doing their jobs. But it's so hard to do until we get some more reforms in place. And so President Trump is proposing this offer, especially because we all know there's a bunch of never Trumpers that are working as federal employees. There's some great people that are working as federal employees as well. But there's a lot of never Trumpers. And so he's saying, hey, look, you've got an opportunity right now. You can resign your job. We're going to give you a buyout. You'll get paid all the way through, I think it's September or October. And if you're eligible for retirement, you'll keep your benefits, et cetera. And apparently, a lot of federal employees are actually looking at taking the buyout. Jeff Manasso said they had the number pegged at 20,000 federal employees were looking at taking the buyout. And he said the Trump administration is now saying, oh, no, it's a lot more than that based on latest estimates. So this could save, if these numbers bear out, this could save taxpayers over $10 billion a year with these buyouts. Now, Bob in Anaconda, though, he's concerned. He says, you know, good morning. With all of the excitement about getting people to retire, I'm afraid most people, including the president, have missed the many unintended consequences. Take the Anaconda Job Corps. If we lose just three or four certain positions to this, which right now we are probably going to, it will be forced to shut down because of certain rules in place on staffing. So anyway, that's a good concern that Bob in Anaconda is raising, and Bob sounds like a like-minded guy with many of you. He's just saying, hey, you know, let's be careful about what some of these other effects could be here. But here's what I think, if you want to play devil's advocate on this conversation, you could sit back and say, well, wait a minute, aren't we going to lose a lot of good people potentially in this too? We might lose some good people in this. They might say, hey, you know what, it's my time. But other people will then step into filling those roles. And, I mean, case in point, let's look at the Department of Defense. Look at the Department of Defense right now. As we predicted, recruitment and retention is climbing. It's so big right now. They have so many people wanting to join the military under Commander-in-Chief Donald J. Trump and under Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth that they're now trying to figure out how they are going to be able to train all of these recruits in basic training in the current facilities that they've got right now, because young American patriots and their parents and other veterans that they respect are once again encouraging them to step up and serve their country in the military. And so, yeah, December 2024, the U.S. Army had its best recruiting number in 12 years. In January 2025, the Army hit its best recruiting number in 15 years. And as Pete Hegseth said, America's youth want to serve under the bold and strong America First leadership of President Donald J. Trump. But I think in a similar fashion, you will see this impact our federal workforce in positive ways as well. That even some of the people who've been around a long time, maybe they're good workers in our federal workforce, but maybe they're sitting in a chair that somebody else could fill. Somebody else could get that promotion now. Or how many of you maybe tried to apply for a federal job here in Montana because you like the outdoors? You want to see our federal lands actually managed and not mismanaged the way they've been under Democrat Party leadership. And so you said, yeah, I'd like to work for one of these land management agencies. Oh, but you didn't check this box or that box or this box or that box. And maybe you'd actually have an opportunity to get one of those jobs right now. I just think you would see people step up from within these agencies to then fill these jobs. And then, you know, back to the Anaconda Job Corps. I mean, a good friend of mine used to run the Anaconda Job Corps a few years ago, Rod Frost out of Sunburst, Montana, initially. And, man, he loved that job, and it sounded like it was a great job, and he did a great job at the Job Corps. And then eventually he took on another opportunity, and somebody else stepped up and was able to take on that good job. And I think that would happen once again. But yeah, that's the big picture here is that, look, President Trump is full speed ahead trying to tackle this $36 trillion debt that we've got facing this country and climbing. But just as important as that, he is trying to pare back this federal government bureaucracy that is holding this country back. And I think this hits both goals. All right, coming up after the break here, we've got a couple of guests who are going to join us on the show here. I think it was last week at this exact same time, we got a nice surprise phone call from Flathead County Commissioner Brad Abel talking about his concerns over the warming shelter in Kalispell, Montana. Well, the warming shelter wants to respond. And they're in the middle of a lawsuit right now against the city as well. So their legal representation wants to be on the show with us as well. So we'll get a chance to hear the other side of the homeless debate in Kalispell coming up right after this, right here with Montana Talks. And then the rest of the morning, we'll have open phones for you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
While you're at it, the most dangerous words in the English language. Pivoting away from a clear objective, like building a bridge, to pursue a completely unrelated objective, like helping U.S. steelworkers, is rife in government spending. It's so ingrained into government procurement that people don't give it a second thought. Yet there's no easier way to attack the imbalance between spending and revenues than to start getting more for what we spend. The Buy American Act was passed in 1933. It says that federal agencies and contractors must purchase domestically produce products, and that 50% of the total cost of the components of the project must have been sourced to U.S. suppliers. Between 2001 and 2019, researchers estimate that a now modified law preserved about 100,000 manufacturing jobs, but the cost of each job saved was $110,000. That's $11 billion of excess spending every year, and the scheduled tightening of domestic content requirements in 2029 will make it all even worse. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's February 5th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Weather Person's Day.
I'm always reminded that weather is the one thing we all experience together on the planet.
We should all honor the hard work of meteorologists like Fox's Janice Dean, forecasters, storm chasers, and spotters whose efforts help to keep millions of us safe in hard-hit areas of the country. Also on this date, in 1921, the New York Yankees purchased 20 acres of land in the Bronx, New York. It would eventually become the home of Yankee Stadium. In 1994, white supremacist Byron DeLebeckwith was finally convicted for the 1963 murder of civil rights leader Medgar Evers, who was gunned down in the driveway of his Jackson, Mississippi home. Born on this day, baseball legend Hammerin' Hank Aaron, born in 1934. Actor-comedian Tim Meadows, born in 1961. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, a few days ago we had a surprise phone call. Actually, we got a couple of messages on the Montana Talks app from Flathead County Commissioner Brad Abel, and then he called into the show and he was responding to a story that was in the UK Guardian. The UK Guardian's a very liberal publication, and this was the headline in this UK Guardian piece: "A Montana town is waging war on its unhoused citizens. One shelter is fighting back." And in this story, they were talking about the lawsuit from the Warming Center in Kalispell. I believe it's in federal court, if I'm not mistaken. The city took away their permit, and so now they've filed a challenge in federal court, if I'm not mistaken. Either way, we've got a couple of guests on the phone lines who can fill us in. But the Warming Center wanted to respond to the comments that were made by Commissioner Abel a few days ago, and of course we always take your phone calls and always welcome to hearing the other side of the story as well. Tanya Horn is the executive director for the Flathead Warming Center. Let's start with Tanya. Tanya, thanks for being with us. And what do you want to tell our listeners, not just across the Flathead, but across Montana as well?
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you for having us on. You know, this is brought to our attention because I had a volunteer come into the Warming Center in complete tears over the false information that was shared. You know, false information is being shared that it's driven by fear and not facts. And I believe your audience wants to have an honest and true information, not reckless and irresponsible and, quite frankly, embarrassing information coming from our county leadership. Our county says that it's not their responsibility to be a part of the solution to homelessness, yet they continue to speak into it with false information, and that speaks just completely against the values that I have as a conservative listener.
So what did Commissioner Abel say that you believed was false information?
We are a private solution to a public issue. We're not paid by the individuals that we serve, and we're not doing this work to line our own pockets. You know, there was even a reference to human trafficking in what the commissioner was saying. You know, I take issue to the fact that we do not serve an organized network that's coming here to take advantage of our community. Seriously, we serve our neighbors, and we have tried time and time again to explain this to our county commissioners. It's appalling to me that we can come down and say that the Guardian is a liberal rag news when the Guardian spent 3 days in the Flathead investigating and interviewing and spending time inside the Warming Center, which is much more than our county commissioners have done.
One of the things that Commissioner Abel threw out there was he said that, hey, one of the guys that was featured in front and center in the UK Guardian piece is a registered sex offender out of Florida. And so that underscored the concerns that many locals have shared, that the Flathead Warming Center does incentivize people, whether intentionally or not, to come into the Flathead Valley. And is that true? Is the information that he shared about the guy who was featured in that Guardian piece?
He's talking about a picture. He is not talking about the feature of the story. The feature of the story is the attack on homelessness in the Flathead, and it is a complete diversion to talk about a picture in the story.
Okay, so that is that guy that was featured in the Guardian. Is he a registered sex offender from Florida? And then I think the other thing he said is that he said that he's been given numbers that 30% of the people using the shelter come from out of the Flathead Valley, and so that was the argument he was making, is why he feels like sometimes this can be an incentive for out-of-state transients to make the homeless problem worse in the Flathead Valley.
92% of the people that we serve are from the Flathead or have a significant tie to the Flathead, meaning they have family, some reason to be here, especially to be here in the wintertime. It is not an organized network that's painted. Sure, there may be some that don't have a reason to be here, but even our records show that they stay one, maybe two nights. No one is choosing to come to the warming center in the wintertime to be homeless. Seriously, it's just the twist of all of it is just quite appalling to me.
What would you want? And I want to get Jeff Rose in here too. And in fact, and actually, we can go for a little bit more time. I know we only had the commissioner on for a few minutes, but we've had a chance to talk about this topic for quite some time. So if we need more time to get your take here, we're happy to do it because I want to get to Jeff Rose as well, who's a senior attorney at the Institute for Justice. What do you say to the locals? I mean, there's been news reports about even some of the city council members who've been supportive of the warming center over the years. I had a pastor reach out to me and said, hey, Aaron, I've got my concerns with some of what's been going on at the warming center, but he still believes it's an important mission. Clearly, locals have expressed concerns with crime, with fears that they can't even walk down some of the walking trails downtown because of concerns with transients that are using the warming center. And so are those concerns unfounded or are you working to address those concerns?
Both. We definitely are community minded and will continue to work with our community. We have a community engagement guide that we're working very hard. But what must be understood is that what most people don't understand is they've been watching this process go through the process is that surely the warming center was giving evidence that's tying the warming center to the complaint that was made before the city council. We did not see any of that evidence, nor were we giving any names that we could verify is a warming center guest. We were just blamed for all of it. We were blamed for homelessness throughout the whole community, for things that we don't see evidence of. I do not see any evidence that the warming center has destroyed the neighborhood. There were several people who spoke before city council that live in the neighborhood as well and that say that they don't see the things of the people who came and gave their complaints to city council. And another thing that's important to know, that was the very first time that the warming center was hearing of those complaints was before city council, not because community members came and spoke to us. We have an open door, and if someone walks in that door, we give them a tour of the warming center so they can learn about who we are, who we serve, and how we do that. Because I think overall, the general population wants to know true facts. They want to be driven by facts and not driven by fear.
One quick thing. I remember when I first started reading about this debate at the Kalispell City Council, I can't remember if it was a Daily Interlake or a Flathead Beacon report. They mentioned how the numbers used to calculate whether people are, that are being served are from out of state or are from in state, are from the Flathead Valley or outside of the Flathead Valley. What's the timeline that you use to calculate those numbers? Because if I recall correctly, when the reporting in the local papers said that somebody was considered to be a local Flathead Valley resident if they had been there just within the last year or so. So this wasn't so it was a relatively recent time frame.
There's all different standards by what you would determine someone to be a resident. We looked at what the standards are that you would need to get your license here. You would need different things that you would need to do to become a resident here. And that was 1 year. And so absolutely, it was 1 year for us to get 92%. Or it includes those that are here for a reason, which is quite different than the picture that's painted by the county, that people are here because of an organized network coming from all over. We have no indication of that happening. And we get to know our guests, and we keep our statistics. I would be the first to cry a foul if that were happening, because we don't have enough resources in our own community to take care of people in need.
I know it's been a major challenge in Missoula in particular. And of course, Missoula is a different animal altogether. Tanya, hold that thought. Definitely want to hear more from you. I'm looking at the clock. The time is just flying by here. So certainly if both of you want to stick around after our next break, we'd love to give you a little bit more time as well here. But let's get Jeff Rose in on the conversation. Jeff is the senior attorney at the Institute for Justice. They are the firm taking on the legal case on behalf of the Flathead Warming Center. Jeff, thanks for being with us. Regardless of what people think about the shelter, there's a legal question as to, was it appropriate for the city to take away their permit, right? That's the question at hand in the federal case, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's exactly right. And thanks for having me, Aaron. And so, you know, the Institute for Justice is a libertarian law firm. And one of the things we have done is figure out how private property rights and people using their private property for charitable purposes can do good in their communities, and we need to protect that. And so we're coming at this from the perspective of private property rights. And the shelter owns its land. It is private land. They are using their own money and their own volunteer time. And the particular type of permit that they got, a kind of zoning permit, is the kind of thing that courts have always considered to be a property right, similar to like holding a lease or something like that. It is an enforceable property right. And what happened here is that the city, for political reasons, and we don't have to get into the, you know, the details of the political debate, but for political reasons, it decided to revoke that permit and to invade and destroy the property rights of the warming center so it couldn't carry out its mission.
Interesting. Hold that thought. Jeff, we got to take a quick break here. If you both can, please stand by, because I know we said we'd probably wrap it up by about now, but I want to give you some more time because we've covered this topic a bunch over the years. So, stand by if you can, and we'll come back to you right after this, especially talking about this case at the federal level. Are you talking?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we got a lot of ground to cover this morning here on Montana Talks, but certainly this is an important topic we want to keep talking about as well. Hey, but don't worry. We'll open up the phone lines here once again in just a few minutes. We'll open up the phone lines here in a few minutes. 406-294-0970 if you got something you want to talk about. And then we'll have open phones for the entire 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. Greg Gutfeld talks about the Democrats' national leadership elections and says they're still on a gender bender. Funny commentary there. Navy SEAL veteran and Montana's newly elected Senator Tim Sheehy talking border security on Fox News. We've got the audio. So much to talk about coming up later in the 9 o'clock hour, plus everything going on at the legislature, you name it. But, yeah, definitely glad to give some more time here to the Flathead Warming Center to get their side and also hear from their attorneys at the Institute for Justice. We've got Jeff Rose. We'll go back to Jeff here. So, Jeff, yeah, you gave a great kind of 30,000-foot level view of this lawsuit. So the city basically took away the permit for the Flathead Warming Center, and then you guys are coming in saying, hey, this was wrongfully taken away, and that's what this case centers around. By the way, I should add, David Noble, who's a lawyer here in Montana, he does a great job filling in for me on the show from time to time, and sidekicks with me on the show from time to time as well. He's actually your local counsel in this case. So he's actually teaming up with the Institute for Justice on this, which is pretty interesting. Maybe one day we'll get his take on that as well. But what more do you want to share about why you feel the city wrongfully took away this permit?
Yeah, so I think the critical thing here is that we understand that public homelessness is a problem, right? We understand that nobody wants to see their parks overrun with people who are sleeping there or who are going to the bathroom in public, that kind of thing. But our point is that the warming center is private property, and it is using its private property to get people out of the parks and giving them a place to go to the restroom and extending charity the same way Americans have done since the Revolutionary era, using your private property to protect those in need, particularly those who are in life-threatening peril, is something Americans have always done. It was the foundation of the Underground Railroad that shuttled escaped slaves to freedom. And so we're just picking up on that tradition. And so when the government wants to invade your property rights, like they did for the warming center, they have to do so in a process that gives you the opportunity to be heard. That's basic procedural due process. And then it can only regulate your property rights in a way that is rational. And if what the city is worried about are the problems of public homelessness, scapegoating the warming center and destroying their private property rights is not a rational way to solve a public problem. The rational way to do that is to come together with the warming center and try to work together to a solution. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, I didn't have to work hard to convince David that this was a good case, because lawyers deal in evidence. We're looking at the facts. We're saying to ourselves, what can we go into federal court and actually prove? And that's why we're confident that this is an excellent case. And our judge agreed with it. He awarded us a preliminary injunction that's allowing the warming center to stay open. And that is all based in fact.
So property rights, yeah, one sidebar. I thought it was kind of interesting. One of the Kalispell City Council members ran as a libertarian in the U.S. Senate race. And he was one of the people who voted to take away the permit. And I'm like, well, if you're a libertarian, I just thought that was interesting. It's like, if you're a libertarian, why would you believe in permits for anything? Building permits, permits for this, permits for that, the government should. Yeah, anyway, I just said it's a kind of a funny sidebar, but apparently he had some concerns with what's been going on as well. But to that point, though, you know, city governments deal with permits all the time. I mean, they tell you how far your garage can extend out close to the street, how far away from the street. They can say yes or no to permits all the time, and they often do. And so while we like to think we have private property rights, the cities have been allowed to say yes or no to permits for quite some time now. So why wouldn't they have the same purview here?
Well, you know, a couple of things. Number one, we have something called the Zoning Justice Project at IJ, where we are systematically challenging zoning overreach because it really does invade core property rights. But number two, there's a big difference between saying you can't put your hot tub that close to the fence and you have to throw the human being out into minus 20 degree weather. And so whatever discretion the government has to kind of, you know, fiddle with the dials on property rights, if it's hot tubs, we can probably live with that. But telling the warming center that they can't use their private property to shelter human beings from mortal peril is the kind of irrational thing that the Constitution doesn't allow the government to do. We have some basic fundamental right to be able to protect one another, to protect our children, to protect our neighbors, to protect those we care about. And Kalispell just went too far.
But, I mean, there's, you know, fire marshal only allows this many people into a certain building. There's certain safety guidelines where you can't have too many people in one building per se, or they might come in and shut your event down. And so it sounds like the safety, the county and the city agreed, even supporters of the warming center, that things were getting out of hand and that some changes needed to be made here from a public safety standpoint.
Yeah, well, I think that if they had come in and said, you know, hey, your sprinkler system isn't up to snuff, replace your sprinkler system, there would be no federal case. We would have replaced the sprinkler system. That would be a rational form of regulating property. But and as our judge recognized in getting us the preliminary injunction, it's one thing to say you got a problem with your own property. But the city's grievance is with the behavior of some homeless people who we don't even know if they have a relationship with the warming center. The behavior of some grown adults in public off warming center property. And as the judge recognized in our case, Tanya Horn is just a private citizen. She's not anybody's parent. She can't force other people to do things. And so that's why the city has to work together. The warming center's mission is to keep people off the streets at night when it's freezing cold. And everybody else has to work together on the things that aren't that.
All right, Jeff Rose, senior attorney at the Institute for Justice. Great to get your take this morning. And then let's go back to Tanya Horn, I think the executive director for the Flathead Warming Center. I think she's still on the phone lines with us here as well. Tanya, earlier you kind of referenced that, hey, you don't feel like the Flathead Warming Center is to blame for, you know, these kind of crime problems in the area, other problems that people say they attribute to transients, et cetera. But nonetheless, you said that you also believe that there are some changes that you're making or wanting to make. Talk a little bit more about that. And then I also had a listener from Helena. Morgan and Helena was wondering how the Warming Center gets funding. How do you stay? How do you get your funding?
Sure, we are. We're community minded. We care greatly about our community, and we're always willing to adjust. But we can't adjust. We can't if people aren't coming and talking to us. So we have a part of our plan is to open those doors even wider. We've always had an open door policy, but opening the doors for people to come in and ask questions to better understand the true facts about the case. Because the falsehoods that are out there, the false information that are being spread is not becoming of the Flathead. And we don't think they're true. The Flathead is a very caring community. Our motto is we take care of each other in the Flathead. And we find that to be true time and time again. And part of that is how we are funded. We are supported and we are funded by our community. We don't accept any money federally. We don't have any money from the county or any money from our city. It is our neighbors who are funding to take care of our neighbors. And this is a very emotionally charged subject for me because I know that we serve our neighbors and most of the people that we serve are ill. And we need to be taking care of the people that we serve at the Flathead Warming Center. We're just a part of the solution in our community, and we need collaboration to join hands with our elected officials to be the total solution as we work together.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time this morning. I'm glad you stuck around for a few more minutes. Yeah, because there was a number of different issues to get into and a number of different complaints that I know we've heard over the years. And so I wanted to give you a chance to respond to those. And then also then there's the legal case as well. And so we wanted to give that a good look as well. So we appreciate both of you for joining us on the show. Thanks so much for calling in. All right. We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. And then we've got a few minutes left this hour of the show. I've got some messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app, and then we'll start getting into your phone calls as well. If you got something you want to talk about, we'll keep the phone lines open heading into the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. Somebody just messaged me earlier. Somebody in Circle said, hey, what's President Trump's plan for Gaza? Well, that's a fun one. We'll talk about that. Plus SecDef Pete Hegseth on the southern border, Tim Sheehy weighs in on Fox News, and much more. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
By the way, has anyone noticed that Panama caved? Denmark is wants the U.S. to be part of Greenland in the sense that, oh, yeah, we want a much bigger U.S. presence. Canada, Mexico, Colombia, Venezuela, they're all caving. Anyone notice that Donald Trump killed terrorists over the weekend? Did anyone notice that hostages were released out of Venezuela this weekend? Did, you know, anyone notice the Panama pledge to end the canal deal with China and work with us, the U.S., after Secretary of State Rubio's leadership? By the way, did anyone notice on the immigration front that El Salvador agreed to accept illegal immigrant detainees from any country if they're in the U.S.?
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
This great country was founded on freedom, and that was freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then tried blockading us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out for them? Well, it's time now to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, throw it overboard. My friends at Pure Talk, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices, and with a qualifying plan of just $45 a month, you can choose a free iPhone 14 or a free Samsung Galaxy. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 25 gigs of data, mobile hotspot. You get all of it at a fraction of the price of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, Also, they use the same 5G network. You'll get your free iPhone 14 or your Samsung Galaxy. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword Pure Talk and check in with Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service team and make the switch. #250. Keyword Pure Talk from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Foligno. Rascal Flatts have teamed up with pop group The Jonas Brothers to release I Dare You, marking the country band's first radio single since 2020. Back in October, the trio announced that they would be reuniting for a 2025 tour following a multi-year hiatus, and they shared a clip of the song on their Instagram. The country icon's 25th anniversary tour, the Life is a Highway tour, will kick off their 22-stop trek in Evansville, Indiana, February 13th. Lauren Alana and Chris Lane will serve as special guests. The trio recently played at the inauguration events of President Donald Trump. And while Beyonce took home the trophy for Best Country Album at the 67th Grammy Awards for Cowboy Carter, there were some other awards handed out. Kacey Musgraves, The Architect, won for Best Country Song, and Chris Stapleton won Best Country Solo Performance for It Takes a Woman. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Attention.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're getting a few messages, reaction from some of our listeners on the Montana Talks app. And then it looks like we got a couple callers on the line. We'll try to sneak in here real fast as well. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Andy in Whitefish says this. The warming center permit was conditional. That was from Andy in Whitefish. Joe in Kalispell said this. When she says 92% have ties to the Flathead, I don't believe it. You have to look at the criteria. I don't know the specifics, but if someone is considered to have ties because they have been here 3 months, more than 3 months, versus do they have family here or did they have a job and then lost it, the county had to hire security at the library due to the homeless doing drugs, having sex, and starting fights. These individuals may or may not have ties to the warming center, but just like wild animals, if you feed them, they will stop working for themselves and take the easy path. That was from Joe in Kalispell. Let's go to Pete in Kalispell on the phone lines. Pete, what's your thoughts?
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call. That message from Joe, I couldn't agree more. The approach that these two representatives of the warming shelter present are the classic Marxist methods of distract or deflect from the problem. And if that doesn't work, they drop to their knees and play the victim card. It's classic Marxist claptrap, and I don't buy their argument for a second. I've seen the byproduct of people that they so-called help, and it's not good. So that's all I've got to say. And now I know it's cold outside, and I have mercy for anyone who has to suffer through weather like this, but that's life, brother.
All right, Pete, thanks for the call. We're short on time. Let me sneak in another caller. We've got Sherry in Kalispell. Sherry, what's your thoughts?
Hi, I'm calling. I got a lot to say, and I'm sure I don't have enough time. It's in the wrong place. Everyone who comes and speaks on behalf of the warming center just doesn't want it in their neighborhood. It's close to homes and businesses, and they always pull the politics card. They say they're conservative, but they always pull the politics card in those meetings. The growth that has happened since it opened is huge. I can see it from where I work. And yes, they all have a reason to be here. Maybe they don't want to be in a 110-degree temperature in the summertime. I don't know what their reason is. That's very nonspecific. We're just sick of all the poop on our porches and the screaming and shouting and threats. And the people from, like I said, Eagle Bend guy calls and says, yeah, that's a great place to have it. Of course it is for you. Let's put it in your neighborhood and see how you feel. And every time I call Tanya, she says she acts like I'm the only person who calls. We are calling her. We are complaining to her. That is a repeated, that's been repeated over and over in every meeting. The majority of the speakers who live in this area are against it. The very few who speak for it are always the volunteers. And,
one thing I would add too is this is also another reason why we need to expand our prison capacity and expand our jails as well, so that some of these folks that are causing problems aren't left out on the streets for anybody to worry about, whether it's the warming center or anybody else. John in Kalispell, I got about 20 seconds. What do you want to share? Do you want the final word?
Sure, I'll take it. I just wanted to say I've been homeless, but I never behaved like a dirtbag. And, you know, they're bringing up this, hey, there are people that live here, that's fine. Even if they came from somewhere else, that's fine. But it's the behavior, and we did have these problems.
The behavior is the problem. All right, thanks for the call.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
While you're at it, the most dangerous words in the English language. Pivoting away from a clear objective, like building a bridge, to pursue a completely unrelated objective, like helping U.S. steelworkers, is rife in government spending. It's so ingrained into government procurement that people don't give it a second thought. If there's no easier way to attack the imbalance between spending and revenues, then to start getting more for what we spend. The Buy American Act was passed in 1933. It says that federal agencies and contractors must purchase domestically produced products, and that 50% of the total cost of the components of the project must have been sourced to U.S. suppliers. Between 2001 and 2019, researchers estimate that that now modified law preserved about 100,000 manufacturing jobs. But the cost of each job saved was $110,000. That's $11 billion of excess spending every year. And the scheduled tightening of domestic content requirements in 2029 will make it all even worse. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.